Back and we have been able to go to our churches and just be able to see them standing strong. I'm so thankful to come back to Loomis Park and see them standing strong still on God's Word, and that it's God-honoring music, and to be able to meet a pastor and to be able to see the church praying together and seeing these. My heart's been encouraged being here, folks, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, we go to Acts chapter 9 and it's talking about the history of the church. It's talking about one of my favorite Bible characters, and his name is Paul. Now, Paul was known for many wonderful things. He was able to start many churches. He was able as a missionary to take 3 missionary journeys. He was able to spread the gospel, take the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen? What a blessing that was. And to be able to see how God used him in such a great way, many of the books that we have in the New Testament, Pauline epistles, that God used as this individual. But you know what? It wasn't necessarily always the case. How is that God used an individual to do such a great work for him? Well, I think it goes back to the roots here, where we see in Acts chapter 9, a little bit more of the beginnings of before God was working in his heart. Look at it with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. His name was Saul before it changed to Paul. It says there, in Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it says that here's a man that sought havoc of the church, to destroy the church. He's put many of the followers and believers in the jail. He has slaughtered, threatened them. In fact, many of you know the passage here that he went to the high priest to be able to get special letters, to go and to be able to have more of them being put in prison, put away. And yet, is this the same one that God is going to use in such a great way? Here's an individual that is seeking to destroy those that are Christians, to mock them, to threaten them. And yet God used them in a great way. How? How? You know, some of you have relatives, and some of you know people, and say, God could never use that individual. Wow, he's so involved in the world. He's so involved in the addictions of sin. He's so involved away from church. God could never use that. We underestimate the power of God. We underestimate the power of his word. Because if you go through this passage with me, you'll see that God can break a cold heart. God can change a person. And as we look at it in verse 3, if you would, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Those of you who have that red letter Bible know exactly who's talking here. In verse 5 it says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I think the first thing that takes place when a person changes is he hears from the Lord. He hears God's word. We see the verse that tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's word that changes lives. It's the power of God's word that changes life. A missionary going to the mission field, it's nothing he can say or do. It's nothing that he has talent-wise or money-wise that could change a life for good. It is only that God's word would change a life. And we see that that change brings about an eternal change, not just a temporary change. We see here he heard from the Lord. Remember that time, folks, when you first heard from the Lord? He spoke to your hearts, your eyes were open to the truth, and you saw where you were and where God could do in your life. What a blessing that is when we hear from the Word of God. It doesn't stop there. We see that it goes on where we see Saul responds to the word, responds to it. It says in verse 5, it says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In verse 6, it says that he responds to it, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Boy, I tell you what, if we got a proper perspective of our God, what kind of view would change in our life? Some of the scriptures tell us of how individuals got to be able to see God and how they would fall to their knees, or how that they would realize of how sinful they were. Woe is me, for I am unclean. Realizing who God is. When's the last time you got a good picture of who God was in your life? How supreme, authority, creator of all, and who he is. Well, if we got a picture of understanding who God is and his power, and he trembling and astonished said, who am I? But rather, Lord, what would you have me to do? that we would not only just hear from the Word, but that we'd respond to the Word of God. That we would, with open heart, be willing to surrender, be willing to do what God's will is for us. We go on and we see here how he obeys God's Word. Obeys God's Word. If you remember, he's told, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord said to him, rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men helped him go to that city there. He obeys. We have a choice many of times to obey or disobey. But aren't you thankful that he was willing to obey God's Word? When God speaks to your heart, are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to follow him and do what he tells you? I want you, lepers, to go and dip yourself. I want you to do this. I want you to confess your sins. And I'll be faithful and just to forgive you, he says. You know what? He's asked us to do something. Are we willing to obey? Aren't you thankful that there are those willing to obey God and his word? When's the last time you've had God speak to you? That you would respond to him and obey. We see another thing is that he has to wait there for 3 days, waiting on the Lord. I think this is one of the hardest things for Christians, waiting on God's timing, waiting for him, waiting for him. Can you imagine as Saul is waiting there for God's leading and directions, that we would, as believers, just have patience waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, man, we hear of many people that are fainting today instead of waiting and trusting in God. Oh, that we'd wait on the Lord. If you go with further into this challenge here, you see that God speaks to Ananias, a man of God, and says, Ananias, I've got a job for you. I want you to go to that city, and I want you to meet up with Saul. Yes, sir, wait a minute, wait a second. You sure this is the right one that you want me to meet up with? Because I heard in verse 1 that this is a man that's threatening and slaughtering us. Are you sure this is the right one? Ananias, I've got some great things calling for him. I need you to go and speak with him. I need you to go and work with him. Aren't you thankful that there are men of God willing to go? No matter what the cost. No matter what the threat. That Ananias was willing to go to meet with Saul. And he knew what Saul was known for. He knew the danger that was there. But he chose to obey God's leading. It wasn't always that case in the Scriptures. You remember Jonah? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the word. I want you to go and give the message. And Jonah had a choice, and he chose to go the other way. But I'm so thankful that there are men of God that are willing to obey God's leading. But wait a second, I don't know what God has got for me. I don't know because of my job security or because of finances or because of my family or because of these things. And that's a dangerous position. You're asking me to go into an ISIS situation. You're asking me to go to a place where they're slaughtering and destroying us Christians. You're asking me to go and introduce myself to Saul or to go to Nineveh. Are you asking me these things? But yet they're willing to obey God. Folks, are we willing to surrender all? Are we really willing? Oh, it's so easy to say it in word. It's so easy to wave our Bible in church and to sing the songs out. But when we're actually spoken to, are we willing to obey God's leading? I'm so thankful that there are men of God willing to go. That Ananias says, yes, Lord, I'll go. Ananias then goes over and introduces himself to Saul. Would you jump to verse 17 for that? And it says, Ananias went his way. He entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe we see a transformation take place in Paul's life here as he gets saved. You say, how do you know that he gets saved? When a person asks Jesus Christ into their heart, we see the Holy Spirit comes into that believer. Our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, Emmanuel, God with us. We see the fulfilling of the Scriptures here. What happens when a person gets saved? We see the thing that God tells them to do right after a salvation is what? Well, look at verse 18 with me. It says, immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, the darkness, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. We realize that baptism doesn't save an individual. We realize it's an identification with Christ. You know, I think this is really evident in Peru a lot. They say a lot of books will say 90% of Peru is Roman Catholic. And we started the church and some of the people were coming. And in fact, some of the single adults and some of the children and things were visiting the church. They'd go home and they'd say, Mom, I got to learn some verses from the Bible. And the parents said, oh, that's great. It's exciting. Mom, the next day they'd come back and they'd say, Mom, I just asked Jesus to save me from my sins. And they said, oh, that's great. You need to be born again. And they come back and they say, Mama, I want to be baptized. And that became a problem. Because some of you maybe have a Catholic background, know exactly what that means. You have been baptized as a child, and now you are being baptized in another church. That's a cult. You've got to get out of that right now. I remember many times they knocked on my door. Of single adults that came to my door and said, Pastor John, I've just been kicked out of my home. My parents have disowned me because I told them I want to be baptized. I want to identify myself with Christ. As we brought them in and discipled them and worked with them, it's exciting to be able to see a Peruvian to say, you know what? My relationship with God is more important to me than anything else in this world. But I wonder, is that the case in America? Well, as soon as it comes to a point of sacrifice, as soon as it comes to a point of parents or others pressure us, we so many times faint and go away. Rather than saying, you know what, I love God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. More than anything else in this world, they have a love for God. And to see Peruvians that are willing to go and say, you know what, I'm going to follow and identify myself with Christ. We see here Paul was baptized. Identifying. It's not for salvation. It's for identification and obedience to God's word. Of being identified with Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. And to be able to show others that this is my relationship with God. We see a transformation takes place here. Would you look at it in verse 19? It says there's a time of growth and discipleship. We see, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Isn't it a blessing to be able to have other believers, a church body to grow together with? That when you're going through a hard time, we can pray together. When you're going through a great time, we can rejoice and give thanks together. But you know what? It's a blessing to be able to have others to share that with. Folks, it's not that way all around the world. There are many places I could take you today in Peru that does not have a Bible in their language yet. There are still places that do not have a church that they can go to. They do not have other believers that they can fellowship with. And so many times we sit in our American churches and feel like it's that way all over the place. But folks, it isn't. There's such a need that is out there of spreading the truth of God's word. As Saul grows with other disciples, other believers. And we see in verse 20 how Saul was using his gifts for the Lord. It says, verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Wait a second. Is this the same man? As in verse 1, you said he was threatening, he was slaughtering, he was putting in prison, he was seeking to destroy the church. And now in verse 20, you're telling me that he's out preaching he is the Son of God? That's a changed life. And that's what God can do. Some of you can say amen to that simply because he's changed your life. You have a testimony that God has changed you. But you know what? There could be someone today that is still here that doesn't have a relationship with God, that's involved in the power and addictions of sin, and it's destroying their life. Just as Paul was. But it's not too late. There's hope. And God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That promise was good back then, and it's still good today. That we can be able to go to Him and be able to have Him give us the power to break the chains of sin and to give us a new life. What a blessed hope. There are some people that are living without hope in Peru, in America, until we get that message of good news to them. You know, it could be someone here is in this place. Maybe some of you that have heard from God's Word and have asked Jesus to save you from your sin, but have yet to be baptized. And God's speaking to your heart that you need to identify with Christ. Maybe it's that you need to be with other disciples and be a part of a church family. Maybe it's that God is calling you to go and to serve Him and preach the Word of God. However God is speaking to your heart, would you be willing to obey Him? Would you, church, as body of believers, be willing to obey the Lord and His leading? You know, the Lord had a prayer request. We take so many prayer requests as a body of believers. But the Lord even had a prayer request. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth more laborers. We need more laborers on the field. We need more that are willing to say, I surrender all. I'm willing to go. Because God loved me so much. I want to know how I can be able to serve Him. Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it that God has? I believe that God has given every single one of us gifts to bring honor and glory to Him. Now, are we using those gifts for the Lord? Would you go with me to Acts 13 as we close here? Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, it's after his, Paul is going through the discipleship process. Where is he at in chapter 13? It says in chapter 13, verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There's Saul that's been changed and converted. And what is he doing in the church there? Did you catch it in verse 1? Teaching and prophesying. But in verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord, actively involved in the church, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who is it that calls a missionary or a pastor to full-time ministry? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls an individual. How is it that they're sent out? If you go there in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed the church and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The church there, and verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. Verse 5, for what reason? When they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God. It's not to make themselves famous and to promote themselves and say, look what I've done. It's that they preached the Word of God. And it was for His name's sake. And we see that God was glorified. And I read to you before in Acts 14 how they came back and gathered the church together and said, look what God has done. Look at what God has done. Folks, I'm so thankful that the gospel message came to me. And I was able to be saved and baptized and growing in a Christian home. And to be able to see God work in my heart and in my life and allowing me to be able to be called to the mission field. And folks, He desires to do that with each and every one of us. Bring honor to His name. Oh, that we would be faithful. Oh, that we would be surrendered to do His leading. Where are you at today? I'm not sure what circumstances or what difficulties or where you're at spiritually, but I do know that God is seeking those who are lost. God is looking to save those. God is looking to give you the victory. I told my children, I said, are you sure? You have that blessed assurance of your salvation? They said, yes. They said, when did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I was 6 years old. I says, yes, that worked back then. But what about right now? Is God saving you from your present sins? It's still giving you the victory. I hope that we continue to grow and continue to be right with God. That we would see the blessings of a great God. Amen. Let's pray together.